Season 5, Episode 13, Twin Peaks. It opens up with Russell and Simone going to a DOA with a gentleman who was shot twice in the chest and once in the neck. Appears to be jumped at an ATM. He has a receipt for withdrawal of 200 bones. And then they talk to the uniform officer, and they ask him if the gentleman who was next to the ATM, who is a Chinese shop owner, if he said anything. And then the white gentleman, you know, just dropped a slur, kind of. Just kind of dropped a slur in the middle of conversation.
Well, how would they know that the man was Asian?
It's a great question, Kyle. How would we know that the man was Asian? Except after he said it, and then Russell gave him an eye, he was like, the elderly Asian man doesn't speak English. And then there was another subtle dig at the man's casual racism. Because they said, well, what about the kid? And he said, oh, he speaks. And then Simone says, English, you mean?
Yeah, that was interesting.
They go over to the older Asian gentleman and the grandson. We found out that he's a grandson.
Uh-huh.
And the grandson translates for him. And he says that he saw a man get into a greenish American car and drive away. They ask, what did the man look like? Well, they've confirmed that there was 3 gunshots. And then they ask him what kind of man was in the car, and he says a barbarian, non-Asian guy. They ask a white barbarian or a black barbarian. And then the Asian man says, Gilo? I wrote it down, but I can't remember exactly how it's pronounced. And I'm not going to try in an offensive Asian accent.
I'll try it. Here we go. Ready?
Nope. Hey, Kyle, we're good. No need. No need for the attempt. As they leave, the Asian gentleman and his grandson, Sipowicz says, not even 9 a.m., and it's not looking good for the Rainbow Coalition. Because we had racist moments from the white guy, slightly racist moments from the Asian guy, and hey, then we have the opening of the show. This is NYPD Blue Balls, where we go through every episode of NYPD Blue. I'm Kirk, and the other voice is Kyle, and this is the theme song to NYPD Blue.
I feel like this was the opening for, like, the writers to try to shove an MF to races.
You said that over the theme song, but I heard it. You think this is the writers saying everybody's racist?
Trying to, yeah. Or, like, trying to give a little context that everyone has a little bit of, a little bit in them.
A little bit of that racism.
A little bit of that prejudice.
I guess I'll continue with the Russ and Simone story. And then we'll back around to Medavoy and Dolores, who's kind of the worst. So they come back in and they run what happened for Fancy. They say, gentleman shot at an ATM. Looks like a stick-up. Elderly Asian man says it was a green American car. And
the man looked like a barbarian.
Yeah, it was driven by a barbarian, ignorant white person. Then Sipowicz shows up. He was late because he was at the urologist. Simone asks, how was it? And just responds with, oh, he's full of crap. A bunch of mumbo jumbo. Then,
well, most doctors are, you know, when they're trying to save your life.
Then it's pointed out that there is no PAA yet. The PAA is not there. Usually it's Naomi. But,
she's MIA.
We find out that she's in a hearing because, you know, she lied about being from
everything.
The south of America.
They lied about everything, who she was, everything.
Maybe I should just include Dolores with their story because Dolores is kind of the worst. Dolores Mayo.
What makes her the worst, Kirk?
I'll explain right now in her opening scene. Dolores Mayo shows up and she's super late. She's like, hi, I'm the, I forgot what the official title of the PAA is. She's temporary just for the day. And she's like, just the one day then? And he's like, yeah, our PAA is at a hearing. And then she kind of like has this like, okay. And he's like, the only reason I'd ask is because it'd be real convenient because I live in this precinct. And it's kind of like, hey, if it's so convenient, why are you so fucking late? What I love is Fancy responds to all of her, like, attempts to have a conversation with just like, yeah, your pads are on the desk, so, you know, get to getting.
He's just trying to get her to, like, start work.
Exactly. That's why she's the worst. And then she pops back in and she says, so no smoking in the building? And he goes, no, no smoking in the building. And then she pops in again and she's like, breaks? And Fancy's like, do you want one now? Which is a great question. And she's like, no, I'm good. And then goes and sits down. It's like, great. I'm glad you decided to start work today. That's why Dolores is the worst. After Dolores proves she's the worst, Simone, Sipowicz, and Russell go to a new DOA, which Fancy got before Dolores showed up, that looks like the same guy. When they get there, there's an abandoned car with a crack pipe in it, and a woman says she knows the guy who got out of the car and ran away. And they ask her name, and she says, oh, I'm Lydia Labia. And it gets a second look from Sipowicz that's pretty funny. And she says, oh, I'm a performance artist. It's like, okay, well, you're a performer. I don't know if what you do is art. I haven't seen your work.
Some people are performance artists, man.
And every OnlyFans person is a performance artist, too.
Hey, they're making money.
Yeah, they are. I will
performing something.
At one point, Sipowicz calls the guy a crackhead scummer, which I thought was funny. Just a funny combination of words. And she says, oh, it's Eddie the Fly. Eddie the Fly did it. They said, well, can you describe him? She says, white, 23, and has never washed his hair.
Most flies don't wash their hair.
Well, yeah, they're too busy, you know, eating shit. She mentions that he said at one point that he lived with his mother up on 2nd and Avenue C. And then Lydia goes up to, you know, tall, dark, and handsome Simone and gives him a flyer and says, you get $2 off the cover. And you could see how I got my last name. Which, you know, that's pretty direct.
What was her last name?
Labia.
That's right. That's
yeah. Right. So she's
Lydia
gonna,
Labia.
So they're gonna she's gonna show him her vagina. It's like it's pretty clear what the message is.
But like wouldn't I wanna show you how I got my name. I don't know. I just don't know what like that means, like everyone what? Knows you have a vagina, like, you don't have to show it to us.
But what's so special about her labia, Kyle? That's what we gotta figure out. That's really that's the detective work that Simone's gotta get down to the bottom of. Because...
Wouldn't you put that in, like, your name, you know?
Well, no.
Wouldn't you be like, my name's, like, Lydia Teeny Labia, you know? Like, wouldn't that be in the name?
Kyle, you gotta leave an air of mystery. That's how you get people in the seats.
So yeah, I guess. I guess I don't know how to advertise my private parts well.
because what they're saying is, they look at the flyer, they go, oh, Lydia Labia, she's in town, she's performing. I gotta see what that labia is about. Because obviously she's got one, but what's so special about hers? Simone, Sipowicz, and Russell pull in the mother of Eddie Galata.
The fly, Eddie the fly.
There's a moment with Medavoy and Sipowicz, which we'll talk about when we get to Medavoy's story, because he has the title of the episode, and his story was the most confusing thing until I watched the episode 3 times.
It is pretty confusing, and it's, like, it's kind of dumb. It, like, if you think about it, it seems like the type of crime, like, he has to investigate, like, how it happens. It seems like it would happen a lot more, you know what I mean? Because, I don't know, we'll talk about it when we get there.
Yeah, his whole story is, like, because the first time I watched it, I literally thought to myself, I'm never going to be able to understand and explain this, so I'll just leave it alone. And then I finally got it up the second time, and then I picked up some stuff on the third, so it was like, oh, okay, it kind of makes sense now. It just sucks that it's Medavoy, because he can't explain things plainly ever.
No, I mean, it made sense to me.
Simone, Sipowicz, and Russell talk with the mom. And the mom basically stonewalls them because none of them are mothers.
Well, I mean, she's got a point. None of them really know how it feels.
They want her to call her son Eddie. And she turns to Russell and says, are you a mother? And she says, no. And then Sipowicz kind of jumps in with, I got a 2-year-old and I have a son who's lost to violence. And then she's like, yeah.
That's his go-to, though.
That's from the Sipowicz bag of tricks.
Yeah.
That's
from the fall collection.
He's like,
encore right there, bro.
I bring out the 2-year-old, and then bring out the dead son, and then usually I got him on my side. It's my ace in the hole, Andy Jr. But essentially, the mother looks at him and says, "You're not a mother. I carried him in my belly. I can't do it." The next time we see the crew of Russell Simmons.
How cool would it have been if Sip was just like, I know what you mean. I carried my boy in my balls. No man ever shoots back with that, you know? Like, I mean, it doesn't count. Like, you can't really, like...
Actually, men shoot back with that all the time. Gagoosh! Gagoosh! Sorry, I got a little Joe Rogan-y there. Or maybe it's Brian Callen.
Nah, that's more of a Brendan Schaub, Brian Callen joke.
Oh, man. But yeah, no dude ever does say that. I guess because it's not really the same. Like, our balls don't weigh us down and then cause random cravings. Well, I guess they do. Hold on. Maybe it is the same.
Our balls don't... Our balls also don't stretch out our stomachs and destroy our vaginas either, so...
Yeah, and we also don't complain about it all day and night.
Well, you know, if you ladies could have just kept your mouth shut and not eaten that apple, you wouldn't have had these problems.
Oh, my lordy.
Adam was a good follower and didn't eat the fruit.
Well, he did after she did.
Well, I mean, after. But if it wasn't for her, he would have been able to take care of it, no problem.
But Adam just wanted that pussy, and he didn't want to hear the complaining. Anyway, so now that we have no more female listeners...
Did we ever have female listeners?
I think we had two.
I'm not going to apologize because I was born a man. You know what I mean,
Kurt? So we don't have to?
Yeah. I'm not going to apologize because this is how God made me. If you can't handle it...
Random aside, this episode's gonna go so long, and it's gonna be a lot of editing. But
let's talk about it. The episode is not that great.
No, it isn't. It's because they focus on Medavoy. I think that's really why.
I don't know. Like, I think they try to show him answering or doing a difficult case. And then we realize, like, oh, we don't... he's not a detective we want to see by himself or doing a case by himself.
And I think it's also supposed to show that he's kind of like a... he's the caring one. Like, he's the one that's doing this out of the kindness of his heart. But it's
like...
Yeah,
he's trying... Like, he really cares about, like, the people that are involved. The helping out the one brother... And helping out the girl, like, he really wants to help the girl. Like, I get it, but, like, it's just not good.
Yeah, it's not the best work. Anyway, when they come back, Simowitz. My brain is dying. Simone secures the brother of the first DOA to come in and talk to the mom, but they all agree that's not the best route. And then Jill Kirkendall comes in, who is a mother, if we remember.
Mm-hmm.
And they run down what's happening for Jill, and they say, "Hey, we almost got the mom to turn, but she revealed to us that none of us are mothers, so she won't talk." Fancy says, "Do you want to go in alone?" And she said, "What about me and Russell?" And Russell gives her particulars, like her name and stuff like that. And then Jill walks right in. And the only thing I wanted to say about that was, it was really cool. Jill had no fear. Like, even though that's her job, she's supposed to be ready to do it. The fact that when they told her the whole story, and they were like, "Do you want to go talk to her alone?" She's like, "Oh, I'll take Diane," and then just walked in. Like, she, like, barely even put down her shit. I don't know, I thought that was pretty badass.
Yeah, it's like she's ready to go.
As she walks out, Sipowitz makes a point that the new PA is going on 16 consecutive minutes not going anywhere. Then they show...
Yeah, Sipowitz gets annoyed with her... pretty quickly.
Jill comes into the interrogation room with the mother, and she's coming in hot, saying she's taking over the investigation. They say conclusively, "It's your son." Jill grabs her hand and says, "I'm the mother of two boys. I'd want nothing more than to just wrap myself around them." She pulls some real mom shit, where she's like, "You can't live their life for them. You can't save them from bad things.
She has to get the woman on her side.
And she said a phrase, I brought them into this world, but I can't live for them in it. And I was like, well, that's kind of the thesis point of this entire conversation. And then she says a line that made me laugh. She's like, I will treat him like your son. And I was like, well, she's like, the police have treated a lot of people's sons like shit. Like, does that really matter?
Yeah, like, and Andy didn't talk to his son for, like, 20 years. Like, I don't want that happening.
It's also important to point out that she's also talking to Diane, who we know is Preggers, with her own baby.
Oh, very true, very true.
So she's also kind of, it's also something for Diane, as well as this woman. And they also promise that the mother will get to talk to Eddie before they talk to him, which is very important to what happens. At a later time, they get a place to pick up Eddie the Fly. Sipowicz mentions that every time he goes to the restroom, he gets waylaid by Medavoy. And Sipowicz is like, why don't you go now? And he says, but by how long it'll take me to pee, he'll already leave. When they bring Eddie in, he's upset because his mother set him up. Simone says she believed she was saving your life. And then he's like, and then he complains that she told him that she was going to get some getaway money. And Sipowicz says, like you would have come for any other reason.
The kids. I mean, like, the mom's no peach, but the kid's kind of a douche.
Oh, the kid's a complete douche. And then Simone says to him right before they take him in, think about it this way, Eddie. When we get you alone, a bad attitude with your mom's, that earns you an extra beating. They let him in. He says, great to see you, Mom. And she's just, like, kissing him and freaking out. He's saying it was a grudge ID, it's a mistaken identity, and Lydia Labia is just being a piece of shit to him. Then the thing that made me kind of raise my eyebrows, the mom says, you said I could be here with him? And then Kirkendall's like, we said you could talk to him before we do, and you've done that. And then she leads him out, and the mom turns around to Jill and says, remind them. And Jill just turns around and goes, hey, Eddie is her son, and then just walks her out the door. And I was like, if you're the mom at that point, you gotta know, oh, so I was just kind of used, obviously.
Oh yeah, you were she was totally conned, for sure.
because it's like, yeah, you got to talk to him, walk, 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 hey, remind them, hey, it's her son, and then just walked out. It's like, oh, so yeah, I got hosed.
Yeah, you got to talk to him, get the fuck out of here.
When they get him alone, he says, you know, this is a grudge because I told Lydia Labia my opinions on pierced genitalia.
Can you stop calling her Lydia Labia?
That's her name. Okay. That is her changed name. Then they said, well, what about the cameras we got you on? And then he suddenly changes to, oh, I go into blackouts.
Yeah, I love when people do that.
And then, of course, they're like, yeah, that's great. Write it down. And he's like, yeah, man, I don't know what I'm doing. He's like, okay, write it down. And that's basically the end of him. Russell takes a minute to go outside where she meets Kirkendall, and they have a heart-to-heart about motherhood, which basically amounts to, oh, you can hope all you want and you can pray, but you have no idea how it's going to turn out. So have fun sleeping with that knowledge.
Yeah, you don't know if your kid's going to be a dick or not.
And you have no idea if some random thing's going to happen to them.
I mean, you kind of know if your kid's going to be a dick or not, right? Like,
you have kind of an idea. I'll save the end of the episode after we go over Medavoy, because Medavoy and Sipowicz are kind of linked together in this one. Because, as I mentioned, Sipowicz can't take a piss without Medavoy talking to him.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I kind of blocked that part out. That was annoying.
Also, a random moment in the middle of the episode, Dolores and Fancy have a moment together. Because Fancy comes out of the bathroom, and Dolores is coming back in from a break.
He lights her up.
And she's like, hey, did I miss anything? And he goes, I'm going to be honest, you're gone too frequently. And she goes, okay, I'll cut it out. And he's like, cool, and starts to walk away. And she's like, I don't want to make a bad impression. And it's like, well, too late, obviously. Obviously it's too late.
Yeah, you're past that. We're past that.
We're past bad first impressions. Now you have to overcome the bad impression and work harder. And she also says, well, I'm getting nervous, and when I get nervous, I smoke. And it's like, cool, not what I asked. It doesn't matter why you were doing it, you were already doing it.
Like, you're missing the whole point of what I'm trying to tell you.
Towards the beginning of the episode, Metavoy. This is where Metavoy shines. He's stuffing his face with a donut, and he sees a dude sitting on the bench, and there's no PAA. So he walks up to him to talk to him. And the guy says, "Hello, I'm Patrick Welsh. And I have somebody who is in danger and a crime to report." And he says, "Okay, let's talk about it in the coffee room." He gets Pat in the coffee room. And he says that his twin brother, Peter, had sex with his ex-girlfriend, pretending to be him, and has threatened violence against her.
That's a lot.
That's a lot to kind of try and understand. Metavoy asks, you know, the obvious questions, how do you know this happened? And he said Vivica called him and seemed on the phone like they had been back together. He then said, well, and Peter, he's like, I called Peter and he confirmed, and he said that he's threatening her and showing her a lesson in assertiveness, which is why Pat and Vivica broke up. He also, what's very awkward about this is, like, they keep talking about how she enjoyed that he was more assertive and more aggressive, which is like, okay, we don't need to hit on that really hard.
Yeah.
We just need to hit on, we know for sure he did it. Like, that's all we need to do.
Yeah, there's a lot of randomness. There's, like, too much information in this, throughout this whole, like,
episode.
Case.
Oh, or this case specifically. Yeah, because Pat is like, she seemed to enjoy it by the phone call she had with me, and it's like, okay, all right, cool, bro. Great. Metavoy says, oh, can I get your brother's pedigree? And he's like, he's not a dog, which I was like, I'm so glad that happens at least once in this show, because I feel like...
Why are you glad that happens?
One, because I like the joke. Two, before this show, if I had never seen this show and someone asked me for a pedigree, I'd be like, dog food? Like, I would have no idea. So, the fact that it's never been questioned until now, and then finally one person's like, he's not a dog. Like, I thought that was funny. The thing that kind of sucks is Metavoy over-explains it afterwards. Where he's like, that's a cop shorthand for the particular's address, name, phone number. He says Peter is very, very aggressive, and he's speaking of vengeance. And that him and his psychiatrist are afraid. And Metavoy kind of goes, ah, and kind of notices how skittish and weird Patrick is. So he says, hey, can I talk to that psychiatrist too? Can you give me his pedigree? And Patrick was already on it saying, oh, I already gave him permission to talk to you.
So, which is smart.
Which is very smart.
Getting ahead of the curve. The next doesn't he have, I mean, I don't know, you may know a little bit more than me, but he has to give him permission, right?
Yeah, the psychiatrist won't talk to anybody else about Dr. patient privilege unless someone's in danger.
Patient goes, it's okay.
Because in theory, a psychiatrist can go to the police if they know a crime's been committed or they're, like, certain that a crime will be committed.
Okay.
But if not, then they can't really disclose that information unless they get the... unless they get an agreement.
Approved from the...
psychiatrist. Yeah. Metavoy... Later, Sipowicz tries to go to the bathroom and Metavoy, like... He's obviously flustered and frustrated, so he walks into the bathroom and he's like, can I borrow your brain a minute, Andy?
Which is so weird, like, there's people in the world like this who have to, like, talk to you while, like, you don't understand to leave you alone.
When you piss?
Yeah.
Yeah, he straight up is talking to him while he has his penis out, trying to pee. And he runs down the twin stuff, but he says, he's like, the second twin has an address, a license... But the psychiatrist says he's never met him. He's never met him with the other twin present. And Sipowicz says, why would he? He's only the first twin. He's only Patrick's psychiatrist. And Metavoy says they had set up group meetings, but they'd never show up together. And then the psychiatrist says this worries him, especially if there is only one guy, because then that means the guy is pushing off his... anger and aggressiveness onto this other personality, which means he's more dangerous.
Makes him more scary.
He gives some psychiatrist jargon, saying, like, he's putting off his psychotic episode onto a fictional version of himself, which means it's more likely to be dangerous because he's more unhinged. And Sipowicz responds with, this would be a perfect case for the hypothetical crime squad, which also doesn't exist. And he says, warn the woman, then get a real case, basically. But then Metavoice...
Yeah, he basically tells him, like, tell her to worry, but, like, get your ass back in the rotation.
Metavoy goes over his entire plan, where he's like, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go see Peter, unannounced, and then call Patrick from Peter's place. And then that'll prove, and then he kind of confuses himself, and Sipowicz just leaves.
I think this is a bad case for Metavoy, because he's an idiot.
Oh, that's me.
But.
And he also says that he's going to talk to the psychiatrist and the girlfriend, because he has to let her know that she had sex under false pretenses with a brother.
Which is a crime, right?
Not only is it a crime, it's also very odd because they're technically the same person biologically. Like, it's kind of a weird, very weird thing.
Yeah, that is pretty weird to think about.
Because, like, it's like the same weird fact that if you have identical twins and they get married to different women and have kids, those kids are not cousins, they're brother and sister, because they have the same genetic material for their dads.
Oh, that's weird.
So, like, it's kind of, twin stuff is very weird. And the idea, like, this idea for a case is actually pretty cool. And it's kind of wasted on Metavoy, no offense to, the guy who played Metavoy.
That's what I'm saying, like, this is like a lost opportunity.
Metavoy goes to see Peter, who's in, like, a pretty shitty apartment, and he reveals to Peter that Patrick let him know that he had sex with Vivica under false pretenses, and that the police department knows that he intends harm to her, so if anything happens, he'll be the first ones they contact.
Yeah.
And what's interesting, and it's kind of important to the end of the story, Peter kind of just sits back in the chair and looks out the window. Metavoy tries to, like, out-Sherlock him by saying, I'm going to call Patrick. And he's like, okay. And he's like, I'm going to do it right now. And he's like, okay, go ahead then. And then when he goes to do it, he's like, do you think he's going to pick up? He's like, well, probably not. He said he was going to go shopping today. So then Metavoy's like, well, why'd you tell me to call him? He's like, you wanted to call him. Basically, Metavoy gets flustered when he's found out, because Peter is like, you want to figure out if I am actually Patrick pretending to be Peter, and you want to bring me in so you can make fun of the geek twins and their psychosis with all your cop buddies. Metavoy gets angry. He basically says, do not intend any harm to Vivica. The situation is taken care of, and have a good day. And as he's walking out, Peter says, I had to write it down because it's funny. The police manual say when dealing with possible twins or loonies to talk like it's the previous century. Because Metavoy always talks like that.
Oh, yeah.
And then Metavoy just turns around and goes, no, sir, it does not. Which is not like... Which is like, I just got made fun of and I have nothing to say back, so no, sir. And he just walks out the door.
He's like, no, sir, go fuck yourself.
Metavoy then talks to Dr. Berger, who's a real piece of shit.
But that most of the therapists or counselors in this show they portray them as pieces of shit, I feel like.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that one guy was, like, super weird, and turns out he's a murderer. I don't remember his name. And this guy comes in, and Metavoy, he wants to just get some context on how much danger the girlfriend is in. Like, that's clearly why he wants to talk to him. He may have wanted...
I mean, in the end, he's just trying to do his job, I guess.
The real tell that you, like, this Dr. Berger is going to be a piece of shit, he goes, I'm panting to hear your thoughts or news. And it's like, what? And he's only asking questions about, like, Peter's apartment and how the way Peter acted. And Metavoy is like, I want to know how hard should I explain the danger to Vivica, Mr. Dan. And he's like, oh, you should definitely land hard on the danger. Anyway, so Peter, and he keeps talking about Peter, and he wants to know about Peter's life, because he's fascinated with who Peter is as a person, and if Peter is even his own person, or if this is Patrick pretending to be Peter. And he just keeps pontificating on the shit we already know, which is what's annoying, because it's not that
he's only in it for himself.
And it's not that complicated of a situation until the very end, I think. But the way he's going over it, he's like, are these two separate people? or is this one person with delusions that he is a twin? And it's like, we already know, dude. We're all on the same page. You should have been aware of this already. And then Medivoy gets frustrated, and he says, I guess the question that occurs to me, am I talking to a decent person or someone acting like the jerk caterpillar in Alice in Wonderland? And the guy's like, that's directed towards me. And he goes, do you have an identical twin? I feel like Medivoy thought that joke, like, really nailed it, when it really doesn't. Like, like, when you think about it, like, where he's like, oh, is that directed towards me? He's like, are you an identical twin? What's it, well...
Oh, he's had a rough day, all right? We've got to give him a win.
Yeah, they got to give him, like, a fake win, if it's something.
Win somehow.
Medivoy talks to Vivica, and Vivica, you know, walks in, and... I think if there's any scene where I'm going to talk a little bit, it's this one. When he gets Vivica in the room, he says, hey, this is really awkward. There's no way to say this that's not awkward. You've been engaged in a relationship with Patrick Welch. And she says, yeah, but that's not police business. He's like, yeah, and you are aware he has a twin brother, Peter. And she goes, I've never met him. And then Medivoy, so tactful, so respectful, so genius. She goes, I never met him. And Medivoy goes, well, maybe you have. Well, you know, you might have done that. And then she's
you may not have met him, but your pussy did.
You may have thought that was Patrick's penis, and you'd be wrong. That was Peter's. That was Peter's Peter. But
it's Peter's Peter.
What he says is, actually, Vivica, that may not be so. And she's like, what? And he's like, that was actually Peter, and he intends to hurt you. And she said, why would Peter want to hurt me? And he says another thing that I think is the wrong thing to say. He goes, I don't know. I can't even tell if they aren't the same person. And I know it means a whole lot to you, because, you know, you may have been raped. But to me...
yeah, and, like, he may be trying to kill you, but I can't figure it out, so sorry.
And he says, basically... Because that's the other thing that's important. He said, I don't know, I can't even tell them apart, but at this point, while the question's really important to you, the question to me is kind of moot. Moot? The question's moot? If it's the same person or not? It's actually very important to this story, to what's happening right now.
That's funny.
And if she like caught that, she would have been like, I'm sorry, it's moot? I may have been raped? Dude, like, that's not the...
Like, my life is moot to you? Like,
and even if that's not what he intended, it was like, okay, that's not the right word to use ever in this situation. She explains how she might have to move and change jobs, because obviously this guy knows where she works and where she is. And Medivoy's like, that might be what you have to do. Later, Sipowicz asks about it to Medivoy, like, Medivoy's walking by, and then Medivoy bites for the conversation, like, oh, do you think it was multiple personalities? He's like, no, I was just asking about the case, but you mentioned that was a possibility.
Like, and he just brings it up in passing, and then Medivoy makes it seem like, oh, now Andy, like, I have to take Andy's word.
He then mentions it's so sad if it's one person or many persons what happened here, and Sipowicz says, maybe you should get yourself some cocoa. Then Medivoy gets a phone call, and it's one of the brothers saying there's a situation at Peter's place, and he starts to run out, and Sipowicz is like, do I dare ask who that was? And he's like, well, I think it has to be Patrick, because Peter knew, and then, like, he looks off into the distance and goes, I assume nothing, and just runs out the door.
Like a fucking weirdo.
Then Medivoy goes to the apartment, he finds the door open, he walks in and unholsters his gun. And he walks into the room, and one of the twins is dead, and the other twin is next to him, covered in his blood. Medivoy, you know, handcuffs him and puts him on the bed, and then checks on the dead twin and says, who are you, and don't give me any crap. This is where I got really confused the first time, because, like, the guy basically says a riddle, and he was like, I'm the guy that is too much of a weirdo to actually do anything with his life except sit and look out a window, while his brother, Patrick, has to pretend to be him pretend to be me so he can have sex with the woman he wants to be with as Big Bad Peter Welch. But I'm Big Bad Peter Welch, I guess. And he's like, so this is Patrick and you're Peter. And he's like, he came over threatening me and saying that he couldn't believe I had sex with his girlfriend. And then I took the knife away from him and stabbed him. He's like, all it takes is a little beating up and a little motivation. Then the dead twin has a spasm and then he starts freaking out saying he's still alive. Let me hold him. Just put a gun to my head and let me hold my brother. And Medavoy screams, I can't. Don't ask me anymore. I think one of the reasons this episode doesn't hold up very well is because this was supposed to be like the super dramatic point of the episode. But I don't think the guy acting as a twin did a great job.
I agree.
So like this moment where if it was a normal episode of NYPD Blue with like Sipowitz and another good day actor, it would be like really, it would really resonate. It would be like with Israel and Sipowitz on the bunk. Like it'd be something really you can.
Yeah, it would be a better, it would definitely be a better acted scene.
And then, no offense to Medavoy, I thought he did okay for what he had to do. I don't think he was a bad actor. It's just like the guy he's playing against, it was just like not very good.
Yeah, I think they gave that guy too much to do with being two different characters.
The next time we see Medavoy, he's like staring at a wall in the bathroom and Sipowitz comes in to piss. And he hopes to get out of the room before Medavoy sees him. But Medavoy says, Andy, and he goes, Medavoy, I have to piss. And I can't piss with you kibitzing. Medavoy says he won't say a word and he'll stare at the wall. Sipowitz starts to piss and then he said, one twin killed the other.
As soon as he starts to pee, his mouth starts moving.
And he starts to explain it, which actually made me more confused the first time I watched this episode. Because he said, Peter killed Patrick. Sipowitz also confuses the thing by saying, so Patrick killed Peter, and then Medavoy corrects him. And I didn't write down quotes because it just gets more confusing when trying to read what he said. But the story is, Peter killed Patrick because Patrick pretended to be Peter and had sex with Vivica. And then he's so kind of messed up in his own mind, he then reported that Peter actually did it, not him. Which set off, you know, an investigation. And then he convinced himself that Peter actually did this, so he rolled up to Peter's place and threatened him with a knife for doing that to his girlfriend, when Peter didn't actually do anything. Peter is like an emotional shut-in who just sits in his apartment all day, staring at a window. And he only attacked his brother and in response to Patrick threatening him.
That's pretty confusing.
It's pretty confusing, and it doesn't help that Medavoy, who does, like, the way they write his character is very odd. And he's essentially trying to have a very emotional, like, moment with this information, talking to Sipowitz.
Yeah.
Even though what he is doing that's pretty cool is he's saying it as if he knows Sipowitz doesn't give a shit. Like, he just, like, needs to talk to somebody about it, and he knows Sipowitz doesn't care. But he's just gonna, like, get it out and deal with it. And he even hands Sipowitz the toilet paper on top of the paper towel machine that has never worked in the show.
Now, do you think that's that, or do you think that he's just so mentally drained from the whole day and the whole case that he's just kind of out of it, you know?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, because every moment he has had with Sipowitz has been pretty dismissive. So he's just like, I know I gotta say this, it's just part of who I am, but I know you're not listening. And then when he wraps up and before Sipowitz leaves, he's like, I thought you were going to see a doctor about that today. Everyone's been asking him about the urologist. Fancy asked about it, and he said, I've been cleared for continued employment. Then with Medavoy, who says, I thought you were going to the doctor for that today, he says, all those guys should be street sweepers.
Yeah.
And then Medavoy says, urologists or just physicians in general? And then Sipowitz looks at him and kind of like, I don't know if he did this just to be encouraging because he could tell he was in a bad place, but he said, you're a good cop, and then leaves the bathroom. Then the end of the episode, Sipowicz is in his apartment with Sylvia, and Theo is down for bed. And Sylvia mentions that she wants to go back to work. I mean, it's not a super intense or important scene. It's just she wants to go back to work. She feels like it's a good time now, and she can leave Theo. And she liked her job, and she felt she did a good job, and she wants to go back to doing it.
Well, it is an important scene because she's basically abandoning her child.
Oh, Kyle. Sipowicz is always joking with this information. He's like, I don't provide stimulating conversation, I guess. And she's like, it's not just that. I want to go back. I want to do my job. And he said, oh, just to warn you, Cohen works there. He's a bit of a pushover. And then they laugh. And as they get up, and she's like, I'm glad you're understanding about this. And he's like, yeah, it's all good. And then she says, I'm also glad that the urologist said that's nothing to worry about. And she says, do you think it's just because you're getting older? And he goes, oh, it says it occurs a lot with men with enormous sexual prowess in their youth. And then he forehead kisses her and then does a stare in the mirror, and then the episode ends. But the question is, did he lie to Sylvia about, like, what the doctor said? And has he been lying to everybody and just making jokes?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, that's what they're saying? Just like,
yeah. He's 100% lied about going to the doctor, talking to a doctor.
I think that's kind of the... Because, as we know, pregnancy lasts a little while, so we're not going to be talking to Russell and Simone every week about that, and we have to create some other kind of drama. So, it's probably going to be Sipowicz's prostrate troubles.
Oh, for sure.
Do you have anything else to say about this episode? I mean, it was kind of all over the place because it's for Medivoy, but they have a case for the main characters, and...
It's just not one of them. I don't know. I think the giving Medivoy, like, his own thing kind of... It didn't ruin it, but it's not the best. Like, he's not the best character to be giving solo time to, I feel like.
It also violates their own rule about people working on cases by themselves.
Yeah, because, like, if he would have had Martinez with him, or even, like, Kirkendall with him, there would have been another brain that could have looked at this situation and been like, oh, well, no, you're looking at it all wrong. Like, look at it this way, you know? Or like, hey, you talk to this person, and then we'll make sure we get in contact with Peter. I don't know. You know what I mean?
What bummed me out is this kind of story has so much potential. One, for acting, and two, for, like, twisty turnies. And it seems like it seems like a case that if they gave it to Sipowicz and Simone and they really expanded on it and they had, like, a good actor, I don't know who, like, especially for the time, but they had, like, a really good actor playing the twins and they put more time on it, it could have been a really, really good story.
Oh, yeah, it could have been an interesting... But, like, if you would have put Simone on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's say you put Simone on it, and you make one of the twins, like a sociopath, or smarter, or, like, smarter than the other one. I don't know, you just add a little something to it, it probably could have made it better.
Also, Dolores sucks, and it makes me wish we had John already. But, you know, we still gotta work through that.
Yeah, Dolores is pretty bad.
Anyway... Every episode of NYPD Blue Balls is on AstroBrothersPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and where you find a podcast. We're on Instagram at AstroBrothersPodcast. We're on Twitter at AstroBrosPod, mostly mentioning when new episodes are coming out. Have a good one. Thank you once again for listening to NYPD Blue Balls. If you have a moment, please rate and review the show on whatever platform you're using to listen to it. It helps the show get seen, and then more importantly, people might start watching NYPD Blue. If you need more NYPD Blue information in your life, there's a couple of books out there. There's What Would Sipowicz Do?, a collection of articles written about the show. There's True Blue, a book about the first couple seasons written by the creators and consultants. And then there's Gene Kendall's An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue on Amazon. That's 99 cents. He's going through the entire show kind of like we are, but in a more scholarly sense. I don't know the word. Anyway, I need to apologize for interchanging Sipowicz and Simone in this episode. Normally I would just record over it, but it sounds weird and janky, and we don't need any more jankiness added to the episode. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. Please wear a mask. Please distance socially. Please wash your hands. Be smart. Be safe. Have a good one. Keep watching NYPD Blue. Peace.